Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you a happy Friday on the 17th day of June, 2016. And by the way, I want to start receiving happy anniversary emails and calls and texts soon for Iron Sharpens Iron, because we are now celebrating our first year of broadcasting as the all-new Iron Sharpens Iron, which began this month in 2015. Obviously, Iron Sharpens Iron, my program, began in its infancy in 2006. But as far as broadcasting live from Pennsylvania, this is our first year now. June marks our first year. We thank everybody for making this program possible, not only those who sponsored it and did everything else that was required of getting this program launched or relaunched, but we also thank you, the listener, who have been growing. Our listeners have been growing in number, it seems, every day now, and we thank all of you for listening, for encouraging me, for sending in good questions for our guests via email, and just being the very reason, other than Christ and his gospel, the very reason that we are broadcasting this program. So thank you so much for getting me through the first year of rebroadcasting here on Iron Sharpens Iron out of Pennsylvania, and we look forward to, God willing, many years to come. Today we have a guest that for the very first time that was strongly recommended to me by a friend of mine that I've known for quite a long time, Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mahopac Falls, New York. Pastor Jim has not only been a guest of mine on this program, but he's been a dear friend over the years, quite a brilliant brother in Christ, quite a powerful preacher and teacher. And when he gives me a very strong recommendation, which he doesn't do a lot, I take it seriously, especially since he, like myself, is a Reformed Baptist, and Reformed Baptists have a reputation of being very fussy and are very cautious about who they recommend. And you might even say that many people would call us anal retentive as a group. But so when Pastor Jim Harrison gave me this plug or this encouragement to get my guest Jim Winder on the program, I took heed to his recommendation, and the rest is history. We now have Jim Winder on the broadcast, and Jim Winder today is going to be discussing the Pilgrim's Progress and its relevance today for those of you who are either new Christians or perhaps you're not even Christian at all. I do have listeners that are not Christians from varying religions. Even once in a while, I know that atheists and agnostics are listening. But The Pilgrim's Progress was a classic work written by John Bunyan. John Bunyan, who was a tinker in England in the 1600s, was a man imprisoned for his faith. He was imprisoned for his faith by the Church of England because he was preaching without a Anglican minister's license, and he went home to be with the Lord in 1688. And his most classic work that he wrote while in prison is The Pilgrim's Progress, and it has been said that there is no book that has sold more copies and has been translated into more languages other than the Bible than Pilgrim's Progress. And we are going to be discussing why this is such an important book to our guest and why he thinks it's so relevant today. And even probably more specifically, we are going to be introducing you to a live dramatic musical retelling of The Pilgrim's Progress called Journey to the Celestial City, which is basically performed in churches and theaters and auditoriums all over the United States by our guest, and you can find out how you can invite him to a theater near you or to a church that you are a member of during this broadcast. But let me, without further ado, introduce you and welcome for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron, Jim Winder.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to talk with you guys, and I love to talk about Pilgrim's Progress. It's been such a great influence on my own life, and we have seen the fruit of bringing that story to people who know it and many people who don't. And one of the things that I guess we'll talk about today is why is it appealing to every age group too? And that's what we find. People often hear, you know, about our program and they go, oh, that sounds like a really good children's program. And I say, well, yes, it is, but it's also great for people that are in their late years and are going to cross that river soon. They need this story. It's there for the brand new teenager Christian who just became born again yesterday, and it's especially powerful for, as John would say, the young men. He says, "I speak to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." They are in the middle of the valley of the shadow, fighting Apollyon today. So everybody, every age group, every brand, every Christian who's at different places along this journey needs the story.
And we will be getting more into detail about what this story is that John Bunyan, one of the great heroes of the Christian faith, wrote about so many centuries ago that is still selling millions of copies today. And just an amazing feat when you consider that this man was uneducated and was merely a mender of pots and pans. And when I say merely, I'm not denigrating the blue-collar labor that not only he was involved in, but that many are involved in today, even bivocational pastors are. I'm not denigrating that at all by saying merely, but what I say is that it obviously takes many by surprise and even shocks many to learn that someone with no formal education who did manual labor would be considered one of the greatest literary geniuses of all time in the Christian church. And so much so that even in his day, someone who had much higher learning and was highly respected as a brilliant scholar and theologian, Dr. John Owen, a nonconformist pastor in England that same century, who befriended John Bunyan, actually had Bunyan preach in his own pulpit, which is quite a sign not only of Bunyan's great gifts, but of John Owen's humility. But I also want to quickly introduce, at least publicly, because we've already introduced you to off the air, but my co-host, Reverend Buzz Taylor, why don't you greet our guest, Jim Winder?
Well, hello, Jim. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And let me start by protecting my reputation by saying that I have read Pilgrim's Progress. However, I have to say it was back in the late 70s when I was in college. So So this is going to be a good refresher course for me.
Well,
great.
First of all, let's start with you personally, Jim, as an individual. Let's hear something about your own upbringing, the religious background, or perhaps even lack thereof. I'm unfamiliar with your personal story, but tell us about how you were raised and how you eventually came to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Well, ever since I was a little boy, my parents brought us to church. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and there was a heartfelt love for God in our family. And I was actually an altar boy in the sixth, seventh grade, I think it was. I played guitar in folk mass and things like that. However, I can say from those years up and through my college years, I had a real desire to have a sense of assurance with God. And I was hugely lacking that. And it therefore compromised my relationship with God. And of course, I was a Ten Commandment liver. I was trying to live right. And I knew that I wasn't. I can articulate it much better theologically now than I could then. But
yeah.
All I can say is during those years, I knew that I did not really have the right understanding, but I was, there wasn't anyone in my life at the time, and it wasn't until I got my very first job at New Jersey Bell. I graduated from college and started at New Jersey Bell as a programmer in 83. And one of the guys in the class, his name is John Alessi, a good friend of mine. He was from North Plainfield. He had a born-again Christian sticker on his car. And I thought, oh, gosh, one of those people that thinks that no one else is. And but he and I were like, we just got hit it off like crazy. And I ended up renting a room in his home, and because he had some room, and I was kind of ready to move out of my folks' house and start living on my own. And John and I were on our way down to the Jersey Shore to go to Ocean Grove, just to go to the beach one day, and we started talking about living right and God and all that. And he said, Jim, I just have to tell you something that might really bother you, but I just want to make sure you get this. When you feel close to God, when you're being good, you're not. And when you feel far away from God, when you're sinning, you are. He said, you're not in a position to be close to God at all right now because your sin is separating you from him. You need to be born again. You need to be made into a brand new creation. You need a Savior who will bear your sin, who will be your perfect righteousness. And I'm probably saying it more theologically than he did, but this is what he said to me. And he said, that's what you need. And I said, well, okay, I've heard that before, but that's not what I've been told. And he said, keep an open mind and ask God about it. He goes, you can talk to God and ask him for that assurance, and he will confirm what I'm telling you. And in the meantime, here's a Bible. Read John. And so I read John, and I prayed, and I asked a few close friends about some of the things John was saying. And I don't think I understood it theologically completely, but I knew that I had a very strong hunch that this was the right direction. And one night I sat down in my room in his house, and I shut the door, and I sat in a chair, and I talked to God about it. I just said, you know, I want so much to be confident and assured that I am securely in your love, that it doesn't waver back and forth, that I know I have eternal life. I confessed my sin. I said, open up any part of me. I face the light. Shine your light into any part of it. Show me. Show it all. I'm laid out here on the floor. I need a Savior. And I just came completely like that. And it was not lightly both. And I would say over the next couple of months I had swings of confidence and lacks of confidence. And in fact, by the way, this tracks just like Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. If you read John Bunyan's life, he probably was saved securely and for real saved and struggled through a long time of ups and downs. And John Piper says there was a defining moment for John Bunyan. He goes, most people think this was when he conclusively had the sense he was saved. walking in a field, and he said, and with my eyes, I beheld the Son of God, Jesus Christ, at God's side. And I said, there is my righteousness. And he said, all of a sudden, the chains fell off my legs. I realized that whether I was in a good frame or a bad frame, there was Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I always stood in his righteousness. And then my chains fell off my legs, and I went home rejoicing.
Amen.
So I think it took a few months for me to comprehend better what had happened. But it was a real conversion. And, of course, by the grace of God and his saving power keeping me, my faith was real then, and it's as real now, and it's stronger now. And he has used my music, my love of music, and my sort of James Taylor, Dan Fogelberg, Simon and Garfunkel upbringing music, and sort of moved it in the Christian music direction. So that's the style of my music. And that's how I became a born-again Christian.
Yeah, and I love all those styles of music, by the way.
Yes, I was going to say we're off to a good start.
And have seen many years ago Dan Fogelberg in concert at least 3 times. And
oh, wow.
Always loved Simon and Garfunkel far better as a duo than I did Paul Simon alone. And who else did you mention? James Taylor. Yeah, I love James Taylor as well. Well, you know something? I'm going to pick up where you left off. But I want to play one of your musical pieces here, just so our listeners will immediately get a grasp of where we are headed in this discussion as far as your performances that you conduct all over the country live. And I hope that you all are blessed with this song that we are about to play. And we are going to be right back after this this song, so don't go away. But here is Jim Winder with just a taste of what you will experience in his live performances.
In the fields just below a small house, a man walked slowly, bent over by the weight of the great pack heaped up over his back and shoulders. The breath of the wind pushed the wheat heads in ripples around him, and every third step seemed to spring a pheasant, all aflutter, into the air. But the man did not notice. He walked on, holding an open book and turning the pages slowly, slowly. Beyond him, the sun was setting over the western mountains, gilding the sides of the peaks with a light so red that they seemed on fire. When the man saw this, he stepped back, startled. His hands flew to the burden on his shoulders, and he cried, "What shall I do?" If he expected an answer, he received none. Nothing changed, except the light, which faded to a pale violet. He shuddered and turned back to his house, staggering under the weight of his burden. One day he walked further than usual. He went eastward, glancing fearfully back over his burden to the mountains that glowered behind him. His burden had grown heavier with the passing days, and the book he read had become more and more distressing. So when he topped a small rise and saw mountains ahead of him, he fell to his knees and shouted to the wind, "What shall I do to be saved?" He did not look up. He did not expect an answer. But one came. Along the path ahead of him, Christian saw a man walking briskly. He stood quite still when he came up to Christian, and quite straight, waiting for the burdened man to speak. "Sir," groaned Christian, "can you help me?" "Perhaps," nodded the man. "Sir, this book tells me that I will die." "You hardly need a book to tell you that. Look around you. All things die in the city of destruction." "But this burden will sink me lower than the grave." "If you already know this," said the man, "why are you standing still?" "Sir, are you willing to point the way?" I am evangelist. I am willing. Do you see the gate past that second field? No. Do you see a light at least? I think so. It is enough for now. Keep it in your eye and run. When you reach the gate, knock. So Christian began to run.
Well, that's just a touch of what you're going to experience at these live performances, and I will be playing more excerpts, musical excerpts, throughout the broadcast, as many as we can get to. But you had a testimony of salvation that is basically being echoed by many Christians across the globe who were raised either in Roman Catholicism or some other religion. They may have even been raised in an evangelical church, but did not really know what the gospel was. And I happen to be somebody whose background, other than the musical part, I am not a musician, never was, but I was raised Roman Catholic, was an altar boy, and have some of the same background experiences that you no doubt had. And the discovery of grace is such a phenomenal event in the life of someone who is enslaved in a false religion or a misunderstanding of the gospel. It revolutionizes your whole thought process about how much you owe God for being saved. It is no longer a treadmill that you're on trying to earn his favor and knowing that you will never be good enough. And in fact, you had mentioned earlier that as a Catholic, you did not have an assurance of your salvation. Well, the Roman Catholic Church actually teaches that to have an assurance of your salvation is the sin of presumption. And they never want you to have any kind of a place of certainty on this earth that you will be in heaven, because obviously the whole system requires the priesthood and the sacraments to maintain, not only to become regenerate, but to maintain a regenerate life until you're dead. And even after death, the period of cleansing called purgatory that they have invented, which further detracts and mocks the finished work of Christ on Calvary. And I want to be clear to everyone, I'm not trying to be mean about these things. I don't despise or dislike Catholics. I love Catholics. There are many folks who are Catholics in my family. I have friends who are Roman Catholic whose company I enjoy even more than some born-again Christians I know. So that has nothing to do with it. This has to do with the truth of the gospel. I mean, wouldn't you say that one of the most loving acts that a human being can possibly do. In fact, I'm going to quote St. Augustine. I just recently posted this on my Facebook page. In fact, I think it was a Catholic who originally posted it, and I reposted it. It's a quote by St. Augustine. "The greatest kindness one can render to any man is leading him to truth." And that is supposed to be on a higher level of importance than sparing someone's feeling, is it not, Jim?
Well, yeah. I mean, immediately I think of several proverbs that speak to this, that it is the loving thing to do is to lovingly and carefully and thoughtfully and with humility share the truth. You know, just as a timely example, I'm sharing Christ with my mother-in-law, who's 94 years old, and somehow we struck on being loved completely is what seems to be resonating with her. She wishes that she had in her lifetime been loved completely, and I was trying to explain to her that you can experience an absolutely complete love from your Father God. And she said, she goes, you know, there's these people up the street, and they've invited me to their church two times, and they just seem kind of pushy to me. And I said, I say, Claire, have you ever heard the story about the guy who was driving down the road and he realized the bridge was out, so he pulled over his car and everybody came screaming down the road. He was flagging them down so they wouldn't go driving into the ravine. I said, they're flagging you down. Your life is gonna, your life isn't gonna last many months, maybe. It may be a year, it may be two, and they're flagging you down. God loves you so much. And those people don't even know you, but they love you enough to risk your reaction to flag you down because they want you to know what's real, what's true.
Amen. And we're going to go to a break right now. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And if it's a personal and private matter that you're asking about, I mean, it would seem unlikely during a topic like this that that would be the case, but we may have somebody who is still Roman Catholic and they have something to say and they don't want to identify who they are. They may even want to say something critical in opposition to something that is said. You may remain anonymous if it makes you feel more comfortable, but if you could, we would prefer if you give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you have a question. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with Jim Winder. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron. If you just tuned us in, we are speaking with Jim Winder, who is part of a musical ensemble that puts on a presentation called Journey to the Celestial City, which is a 90-minute live dramatic musical retelling of Pilgrim's Progress with original Christian songs amplifying the storyline. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Jim about anything at all regarding his faith, regarding his musical background, regarding this specific performance, Journey to the Celestial City, regarding the life and teachings of John Bunyan. Anything in regard to what we've been discussing, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as I said earlier, please give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And again, that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And so where did you actually wind up attaching yourself as a member of a Bible-believing Christian church during this pilgrimage of your own that you were going through?
Well, as soon as I became a believer, I started attending a CMA church up in Warren, New Jersey. It was called Warren Bible Church at the time.
That's a Christian and Missionary Alliance?
Yes, exactly. And now it's been changed to, I think it's called Stonecrest now, but it's a CMA church, and I still happen to attend a CMA church, Grace Bible Fellowship up in Bedminster, New Jersey. And I had one foot in the Catholic Church and one foot in the CMA church, so I would go to two church services. It took me a little while to not feel guilty not going to Catholic Church. And that was the process the Lord brought me through. I have a couple of really terrific friends who are Catholics, who are Christians, and they are fervent believers, and they understand grace, and they still remain there, and they're great witnesses to folks there. But God clearly called me out of that. And that's where I had really solid preaching under Pastor Dave Luck, but the real deep. The deeper, more solid step happened about 2 or 3 years later when I married my wife, Paula. We met in that church. We were introduced by some friends. They were doing a Revelation Bible study. I went, and she was dating somebody else, but they introduced me to her because they didn't like her boyfriend. And so I managed to swing a dinner date, and the next day I went over to take her for a walk, and I said, "Look, you got to get rid of that guy because I'm the guy. You know, I'm the guy you want. You know, what do you want him for?" You know. So we got married in 1986. We moved down to the Jersey Shore. We lived in Shark River Hills, Neptune, and we went to Community Baptist Church. Pastor Jim Loveland down.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's just absolutely great. We spent a long journey in Romans, and there I was introduced to really solid, obviously it was Reformed theology there, but I didn't know it was called that. I just was hearing a confident, really well executed, clear as day, and also illustrations. Jim Loveland cries when he preaches sometimes. He is a real, genuine communicator. He knows how to take you somewhere and help you understand from the Word and from really solid illustration what something means. What's the problem? I'm in sales, by the way, in software, so I understand what's the problem, what's the solution, why now? And he was excellent at that, so I got my foundation in that. And then when Paul and I moved, we left the shore and we moved up here for work to Bridgewater, where we've been ever since. We went to a Presbyterian PCA church, really solid preaching there, really, really solid preaching there, Reformed. And that's where I learned what Reformed theology was and could put a name to what I believe.
Yeah, that's the denomination that my co-host, Reverend Buzz Taylor, is a member of.
Yeah. So that was really terrific. So that's where I sort of went, and it was probably in those, it was in the tail end of being under the preaching of Jim Loveland when I started to write some Christian songs. I played in restaurants down there every Friday and Saturday night down at the Jersey Shore. All that James Taylor, Dan Fogelberg, I mean, Garfunkel stuff was doing then. And then sometime around 2001 was a little before that, I did a first CD, which was just a collection of my first Christian songs, and then Pilgrim's Progress came around 2001, a little bit later.
And you keep mentioning the Jersey Shore. I'm wondering if you're familiar with one of my sponsors, Harvey Cedars Bible Conference.
You know what? I hear about it a lot, and you know, the thing is, we lived right near Ocean Grove, so that's where we went to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, Ocean Grove, Belmar, those sorts of areas, and we vacationed down in Wildwood every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we stay in one of those Naugahyde-laden hotels. Ocean's Edge, I think, is what the one we go to, and so we kind of drive by all those middle pieces. We weren't a family that vacationed down around like the Long Beach Island area. That's where Harvey Cedars is, right? In that general area.
Yeah, yeah, and I've been to Ocean Grove too. I remember the years that I worked for WMCA Radio, which was then in. Started out in Rutherford, New Jersey, then wound up in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. Now is in New York City, but during those years they were in New Jersey, they had annual events every summer in Ocean Grove, and had some fun memories of that. Beautiful area, a dry town, as I remember, at least the area that they had these events at, with the old school circuit preaching Methodists that were dominant in that area, that whose facilities still stand in some of that area. But
they've been blessed to do music in most of the venues in that town and some of the ones surrounding. In fact, I'll be up on the boardwalk in the pavilion doing some music before a pastor July 1st, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I have my own 45 minutes a lot later. But we've done Pilgrim's Progress in the Tabernacle twice, in the Youth Temple once. We've never been in a great auditorium, but believe it or not, I'm glad because the place is so large that it wouldn't look like anyone was there, even if 1,000 people came. You know what I mean? So, and I've personally found that the most intimate performance I've ever had was at Tuscarora with about 15 people that were on an Overcomers in Christ weekend. It was the single most powerful evening we've ever had, and it wasn't for a big group in a big fancy place. It was in a drop-ceiling, fluorescent-lighted room.
I've been to Tuscarora. The Lutheran Brethren run that establishment.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I had a groundbreaking performance there myself. I have to send you the MP3 of my musical tribute to Martin Luther.
Called, oh, is that what that was?
Party Hardy Marty and the Protesters.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I will send that to you right after the show at some point. But I'm going to interrupt us again with another treat for our listeners so that they can have another musical taste of what they will experience at Journey to the Celestial City. So I hope that you are blessed by this as well. And we're going to be right back with our discussion right after this song.
Well, I'm leaving. I'm headed down this long, long road. Not grieving, though I'm leaving everything I own. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm gonna get there someday, and the Spirit will lead me the hard but right way. I've got this burden, and it weighs me down. It's very heavy from
from the guilt and shame that I've carried around. Now there's a cross before me, and this burden rolls away. Now I'm free to travel the hard but right way. And wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads a man astray, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads a man to life. It's a rugged road and it's hard, but it's right. And if you're can come along, we'll walk together, and we'll find those joys that never fade in a shining city where all our tears will be gone this day. Oh, it's worth the journey, the hard but right way. And as sure as the promise I hold in my hand, we're bound for the promised land. And by His grace, we've been saved to make this journey home. Oh, we've been called to walk this way, this hard, hard but right way. Come on along, this hard but right way. This road is long.
Wow, that was tremendous. That was The Hard But Right Way by our guest Jim Winder and his group that performs Journey to the Celestial City, which is the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan put to music. And with original songs, the concept of Pilgrim's Progress, obviously, and it's not a word-for-word musical adaptation of the book, but it's... thank you for that, Jim. That was quite beautiful. Looking forward to playing some more songs during the program. How did you first discover Pilgrim's Progress, or The Pilgrim's Progress, as it's officially titled? Did you discover Bunyan first in his life, or did you first discover his book?
Well, a good friend of mine in college. And interesting the timing of this, because I wasn't a believer then. I was a struggling works righteousness guy, I guess. He gave it to me as we were leaving college. I went to Rider University down in Lawrenceville, and I tried to read it. And I think he gave it to me as like an allegory classic literature. You know, back then I was reading stuff like K. Lil Gibran and, you know, I mean, like, I don't know, all sorts of poetry. And, you know, I was at that time in my life where you're just, and if you're a singer and player like mm-hmm. me, you're kind of, you go through these creative places. And so that's where I was. So he gave it to me. He thought, you know, you might like this story. I have no idea how he found it. But I found it very difficult to read because I had the old English type version of it.
Right.
And, now I read that, and now that's the only one I read.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the language.
There's a whole bunch of King James only Baptists jumping up and down applauding right now.
Well, you know, there is something about the salt sprinkled on that language.
Yes.
It's tasty. And now, what I just want to mention that in concert, when I deliver the story dramatically, I've memorized a different version, which was a retelling by Erdman.
Mm-hmm.
You guys probably know E-E-R-D-M-A-N.
Yes.
Bookstores. So they have one that Barry Moser illustrated, and Gary Schmidt was the writer.
Okay.
And I found that one on a business trip to Colorado Springs for my job. I stopped at the bookstore, focused on family, went through that, found that one, read it on the way home, and that one really moved me. And that was the one that I sort of broke up into pieces, because obviously in 90 minutes we can't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
We do 9 short acts, and each one of them begins with a scripture to give the context for what the scripture is, for what the story is going to be about in this section. So there's a Bible grounding first, then there is the delivery of the dramatic story section, and then the band cues in, and I have a full 4-piece band, so if you want to, you just heard our music. Think James Taylor. That's really kind of what we're like. We're sort of folk acoustic type, but we have bass, drums, electric guitar. We're very tasteful in the churches we go to. In fact, Pastor Jim referred us to a church up in Rhode Island, and when we were going in there to set up and sound check, someone said, "You realize a drum kit has never crossed this foyer yet." I said, "Well,
that's about time.
We'll make sure we will pave the way for drummers to come and do music here." That's kind of how it works. And so each that's 9 acts, and then I do a little bit of the Old English at the end, because you know after he goes into the celestial city, I like to use his poem at the end where he says, "You know, now, reader, I've told my dream to thee. Mm-hmm. If thou canst interpret it to thee, put by my curtains, look within my veil," and all that. It's a great way to say, you know, I usually say that, and I'll say, "Well, what do you think John Bunyan means by all that old English?" Well, what he means is, the story is great. That's the apple, but the core is the gospel, so don't throw away the whole thing. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and don't just love the story. The whole purpose of the story is there to deliver the gospel. It's a vehicle to deliver the gospel. It's not meant Amen. To be its own thing.
Amen. And one of the things that you were saying when you were finding different editions of the Pilgrim's Progress, although there are good ones, my dear friend of many years, Dr. Barry Horner. Yes, who is a quite expert on the life and teachings and writings of John Bunyan, and does a phenomenal seminar on the Pilgrim's Progress that I have seen. I think I've seen him do it like 5 times at least, and it's quite a long seminar that he actually adapts to the length that you request. He can do it over a 2-day period, a 3-day period, a 1-day period, 3 hours, 6 hours, more, etc. But anyway, he says that you have to be very careful, though, because there are aberrant religious groups that have adopted the Pilgrim's Progress with their own versions of it that really strip the whole story of the main meaning of it.
Yeah.
There is even a Roman Catholic version of the Pilgrim's Progress, and there are clearly non-reformed versions that really remove the true grace-focused theme throughout.
Wow, is nothing sacred.
Yes. I'm going to play another song right now. I am waiting with bated breath to hear this one, and we're going to be returning to our discussion after this next song, which... My computer is so sensitive now. I have a new computer that I quickly, without even intending to, click off of things that I'm about to listen to. But Here we go. Save Me is the next song that we're going to be hearing by Jim Winder. So sit back, relax, and praise the Lord with Save Me.
Lord, I don't know why you would save me when all I have done is wrong. I've been trying to work my way to heaven for so long. And there are some things deep inside me that I'm afraid to let you see. I've been hiding them from you and hiding them from me. But oh Lord, when I read of your grace that can cover my disgrace and lead me home to you. Trying my best to do the right thing, but there still is this emptiness inside. I just can't seem to do good enough to satisfy. But I've read the way to heaven isn't what I say or do. I'm assured a place with the Father through faith in you. But oh Lord, when I read of your grace that can cover my disgrace to you. Oh Lord, I want to be your son, to know the only one who came and died for me. Oh Lord, I want to be your son. Lord, I know I'm not worthy now, but I want you to save me. Oh, I want you to save me.
Was Save Me by Jim Winder and Journey into the Celestial City. What another gorgeous song praising our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you've discovered in the timeline that we've been discussing of your life and testimony, you've discovered Pilgrim's Progress. How did you come up with the concept of getting together with other musicians and creating this whole concept of the live dramatic and musical and instructional performance that you have developed?
Well, that's another really terrific turn, a great way that God worked. If you've heard of Max MacLean.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've had Max MacLean on my program, and he wrote a very glowing endorsement of Iron Sharpens Iron. I had Max on my program when I was broadcasting out of New York, and he was starring in the Screwtape Letters off Broadway, C.S. Lewis, the C.S. Lewis play.
Sure. Well, when I was going to, when Paul and I moved up here to New Jersey, and we were UCA Church there in Bridgewater, Max was going to do Mark's Gospel at Raritan Valley College, sponsored by, I guess, a local Christian group there or a church or something like that. And so my pastor said to me, you know, you ought to reach out to that guy and see if you could do an opener for him, you know, play some of your music and see if you could do that before he does his show. And at that time, I had no Pilgrim's Progress stuff going. I was just, I just done my first CD, which was just a bunch of singer-songwriter type Christian songs. And so I looked into that, but there was already somebody doing that. But I pressed in there, and I reached out to him, and I said, I'd like to do openers maybe at one of your other events. So he invited me to come with him on several excursions where he would do Mark's Gospel or, you know, Genesis or what have you. And so I would open for him by doing three songs. And then, you know, my payback was that I could have my merch table right next to his. I got to play for, you know, some pretty big groups of people in different places, and that was the seed for me getting more opportunities to go out and do gigs and ministry and stuff. And I met Marquis Laughlin through that, whose voice you heard on the epilogue. Marquis did the epilogue and the closeout story section on the album that we made, so that we would bookend our music with a little bit of the story on either side. And it was there, going to do openers for both of those, that I was exposed to dramatic storytelling. I wasn't raised or taught to be an actor, but I've learned through their ministry how to do that, and have experienced the incredible, incredible joy of having a text well memorized and to be able to communicate to an audience in a way that really touches their hearts. And so that was it. And so, once I started to see that, all of a sudden my thoughts were, you know, this Pilgrim's Progress thing's been percolating in me for a long time. I bet I could take this story and break it down into pieces and do what they do. And that's how it started. It started with, you know, working out that stuff. And I went out on the road with this show early on, doing the music and reading. Oh, it was actually not very good. I was like reading out of a notebook sections of the story, and it went through evolutions till I finally memorized the whole thing and was completely free. So I could do this show solo. I could walk out on a stage and have a guitar and do the whole thing all by myself, or I can have a full band, which I have now. So it's second nature now, and it's totally a joyful thing to do. But that's how I got into it.
Great, and perfect timing there, because we are just exactly at the point where we take our next break at the top of the second hour, and we do have Aaron, a listener who has a question that we will get to when we return from the break. Aaron, if you're listening, could we have your city and state of residence? I'm just curious, because I know that you have been a new listener and have been communicating with us, but I don't know where you're from. I think our listeners might like to know where our listeners are. The different parts of the country and different parts of the world where our listeners are residing. So if you could email us back with also your city and state of residence, Aaron, we would love to hear from you. And if you'd like to join Aaron and a couple of other people who are waiting to have their questions asked and answered on air by Jim Winder, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Jim Winder and Journey to the Celestial City.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis. And World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new Topical Reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today is Jim Winder, and I might as well give Jim's website while I'm at it. It's Jim-Winder, spelt just like you would think, W-I-N-D-E-R, and it's pronounced Winder, not Winder, and it's Jim-Winder.com, and you will find out everything that you need to know about his performance. His live dramatic musical instructional performance, which is a retelling of The Pilgrim's Progress with original Christian songs, amplifying the storyline, and it's titled Journey to the Celestial City. And so that if you want more information, not only on booking Jim yourself and Journey to the Celestial City, but also to find out where he may be across United States. Have you traveled overseas yet with this, Jim?
I haven't gone like Europe or anything like that, but I have been to Alaska. I had a really terrific little tour up there, and that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. So perhaps even some of our overseas listeners, which we do have a number of them in Ireland and England and Australia And we actually have listeners in about that I know of from the emails that have come in with questions for my guests, about 15 different foreign countries at least, and about 40 different U.S. states so far that we know of, at least. And so we love the fact that Iron Sharpens Iron audience is expanding. On my old show, when we were broadcasting from New York, we had every state but Hawaii I had heard from listeners. There, we may have had listeners in Hawaii, but just never heard from many. But even Alaska, we had some listeners from time to time sending in questions or even calling in, because I used to have a call-in show. But tell us also about Blessed Assurance, another 90-minute word-for-word. Well, this is a word-for-word delivery of John's first letter, unlike the Pilgrim's Progress presentation, which is not a word-for-word presentation. Tell us about Blessed Assurance.
Well, Blessed Assurance, as you said, it's the it's an ESV version, delivery of the book of 1 John. I use the same sort of formula here. I wrote songs to go with each of the chapters, each of the five chapters, and deliver that. It's just a little bit shorter than the Pilgrim's Progress because it's not quite as much dialogue. You know, it's the same kind of music. I mean, in the sense of the style of music, all the songs are brand new. They're all original, and they're all written to amplify the text that we're in. So each chapter has a song that goes with it. And as your listeners could tell in the prior two songs that you showed, The Hard But Right Way is the song that goes with Christian leaving the city of destruction and fleeing to the wicked gate, which is symbolic of Christ. And Save Me, which you played, is the song that pairs with Christian coming to the cross and losing his burden at the cross. Mm. And so there's a purpose for every song. What I'm finding is that the delivery of the word, the delivery, which is just auditory, and then delivering a story, which is which gives a visual in your mind and gives you another connective way to connect to what the word is saying, and then music and the lyrics that go with the music, it's like a three-punch truth punch, if you will. It really hits a listener, an audience member, in three really good ways. So when they come out of that section of either of the shows we do, I think they understand what it was all about.
I'm going to play another song right now by Jim Winder from the Journey to the Celestial City performance, and I hope that you enjoy this just as much as the other songs we've played so far. So sit back and relax, and here's Jesus on My Side by Jim Winder. Well, we thought that Jesus on My Side was going... There we go.
Calling me, so I begin to pray. I've given in before, but this time ain't like the rest. I'm calling on Jesus to help me stand the test. And now I'm standing firm and fast, when I'm calling on Jesus to rescue me at last. And I've got Jesus on my side. I'm not gonna give in this time. Jesus on my side. Well, Jesus, he's my righteous.
Jesus, my Redeemer and my friend. He keeps me standing firm and fast when I'm calling on Jesus to rescue me at last. And I've got Jesus on my side. Tells me to flee temptation's call, but Satan is wicked and he wants to see me fall. But my soul has been redeemed, and this is what I sing. Evil has no hold on me when I call Jesus' name, and he'll keep me standing firm and fast when I'm calling on Jesus to help me stand the test. No weapon of evil can be formed to take my life when I'm calling on Jesus to help me do what's right. And I've got Jesus on my side. I'm not gonna give in this time. Jesus on my side. Well, Jesus, he's my guide. Jesus on my side.
I'm not gonna give in. I'm not gonna give in.
I'm not gonna give in this time. No. Jesus on my side. I'm not gonna give in.
I'm not gonna give in. Not gonna give in. Not gonna give in.
Well, I'm calling on
Jesus. I'm gonna give in. Not gonna give in.
I'm calling on Jesus to be.
I'm not gonna give in. Not gonna give in. Not gonna give in. I'm not gonna give in. Not gonna give in. Not gonna give in. I'm not gonna give in. Not gonna give in. Not gonna give in.
That was Jim Winder, Jesus on My Side, and this is from the Journey to the Celestial City performance that Jim is involved in, that he has created along with his band. And why don't you plug your other band members by name and instrument?
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with Jim Oakley, who is my drummer. He's from South Jersey, a terrific guy, great player. Mark Gazo, bass player. He's from Frenchtown, New Jersey. And Michael Ozinski, who is from Surgeonsville. So those are my guys. Oh, and I also have a Fast Eddie Humphreys, who is our lighting guy.
Fast Eddie. I have a friend, Pastor Ed Moore of North Shore Baptist Church, and we call him Fast Eddie from the famous Paul Newman movie. Cool Hand Luke, I think that was. No, that wasn't Cool Hand Luke. That was, I can't remember the name of the movie with Jackie Gleason. It's just totally flew out of my head. When he was the pool shark. Paul Newman played a pool shark that beat Minnesota Fats. I can't remember the name of the movie. But anyway, Aaron from Indianapolis, Indiana, asks, where can I appreciate or experience this wonderful performance? Well, obviously, anywhere that you invite him, Aaron. But other than that, what's next on your calendar that is either near Indianapolis or perhaps it's just anywhere that she's willing to travel?
We're a New Jersey based primarily, and we do a lot of tri-state area work, and I don't have anything planned going out that way. I would certainly be willing to do that. We're right now in the summertime. Things tend to die a little bit in terms of schedule because vacations, and a lot of churches they don't do a lot of this sort of stuff during the summer months. Planning one of our events, you know, to get folks back to church other than to just go to church isn't very easy, you know, and to do a special event. So we find that there's a lot that happens in the just after Christmas and the holidays up through Easter, and then things kind of chill a little bit for the summer. So we're planning our fall schedule right now. So I would really encourage folks to reach out to us, because we are looking for places to go share this ministry. And if you look at the pastor's testimonies on our website, we're not on the Christian radio, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's hard to get your music on the Christian radio if you're not from Nashville and you don't have a record deal. But we bring a high quality program that has proven itself for a decade and a half, and we love to go share this.
Yeah, I've been very disappointed. I've been in Christian radio for 30 years, approximately. I've been very disappointed with a lot of Christian DJs who refuse to even listen to anything unless it's just sent to them by a major label and specific songs that the major label wants them to play, where they're just directly imitating the world. Now, I don't want to be overly harsh, because I also know that Christian DJs get flooded with CDs from non-professional folks, some of whom are no doubt very gifted, but some of them who unfortunately have been deluded into believing that they are gifted when they should definitely find another hobby or profession.
Because, that was very diplomatic.
Yeah, well, because I've heard some of the things. When I was actually complaining to a friend of mine who is a Christian DJ, he said, well, you know, this is the kind of thing that I get in droves, and he played something for me, and obviously someone is not practicing what Augustine had said about leading somebody to truth, and they are somebody in those folks' lives are not obeying the principle of Proverbs 27:8, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So obviously there are some people who are being encouraged to keep in the musical industry who don't have any business being in there. But
what I've found over the years looking into that and talking to some Christian DJs and stuff, even at my local, you know, Star 99.1 back in the day, was, you know, they are what they called a reportable station, I think was what the words they used, is they have to tell Nashville what they play. And they are told what to play, in a sense. So you're going to hear Chris Tomlin, you know, and other folks like that, you know, when they come out with a record, it's going to be on their airwaves. But that's okay. You know, there is a place for groups like ours that are out doing really high quality stuff that, our medium isn't necessarily going to be the radio, but you know what, I'll take the 15 people at Overcomers up at Tuscarora any day and enjoy the power of God's Holy Spirit working in people's hearts. That's all I want to see. It's absolutely not about notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the goal here. My hope for this show is that there's some people with gospel hearts that want to reach their people with something unique and different, because nobody's doing what we're doing. But this way of telling a story and this music is rather unique. And in terms of Pilgrim's Progress, there's no one else in the world doing it like we're doing it.
Hmm. Well, I can tell you right now that I want to begin the process. I want to get the ball rolling. To get you out here locally to Carlisle at the Carlisle Theater. It's a historic, beautiful theater from the early 20th century. It was built in 1930 or thereabouts, and it's a real gorgeous, old-fashioned, historic theater that has been restored and is now being used not only for movies, a lot of art, films, and things, but also live performances and plays and some very famous bands and recording artists have performed there. And even the actor, Kevin Bacon, he's in a musical group with his brother, and they've performed there twice. And some other groups that you would definitely recognize. I don't have a list in front of me, but I would definitely love to have you guys come out here if I can, by God's grace, pull something off and get you into the Carlisle Theater.
Well, that would be a real terrific opportunity. We would love to come for sure.
And thank you, Erin, in Indianapolis. She reminded me of the title of the movie that I was grasping for. It was The Hustler, starring Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason, where they are Paul Newman played Fast Eddie, the pool shark, and Jackie Gleason was Minnesota Fats. But anyway, thank you. Thank you, Erin. We also have Christian in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, have you ever performed this musical of Journey to the Celestial City in either non-evangelical or even non-Christian venues? And what, if so, has been the response?
Oh, that's a great question. Certainly. One of the most interesting places was my old English teacher back in Sterling, New Jersey, Mr. Evans, Lee Evans was his name. He taught me some guitar. I already knew how to play, but I took lessons from him for a couple of years, and we became really good friends for many years after that. And the year that he retired, I had reached out to him, and I said, you know, this is classic literature. It's and that's, by the way, one of the greatest things about it is that it can stand in, like, I could go down to a gazebo in the center of a town and I could do this show and say, come hear classic literature. This is up there with Shakespeare. This is on the list of, you know, top 10, you know, classic literature examples. So, you know, I did it. I actually stood on the stage at Central School in Sterling, New Jersey, and did it for the seventh graders.
Mm-hmm.
There, and he was able to bring it in. So that was a good example of one. I've done it in prisons, a couple of prisons I've done it in, which was a really gratifying thing. I'd love to do that more. The guys really responded well to that, and the two prisons that I've been to. And I would say, you know, those are typically the ones where it hasn't been a religious environment, but by and large, it happens to have been in churches. That's just where it seems to fit best.
You know, I did have, I remember when I first visited your website, I did have heart palpitations when I saw that you were performing at a Roman Catholic church, but I just wanted to hear from you. What was the experience like there and what the response has been?
It was great. And it was, my drummer's girlfriend's church. She said, you know, I really would love to bring this program to our church. And, we've done this at another Catholic church way up in Massachusetts. Another buddy of mine that I worked with had us come in and share it there. And, you know, it's all about sharing the gospel.
Amen.
You know? And being in every environment where we can be.
Amen.
We can speak the truth in love, and God, you know, uses that truth. And I've never had any bad reaction. You know, in those settings, I think that we have pretty good rapport with folks.
Great. Well, I would be thrilled to hear about you even playing in Mormon settings and Jehovah's Witnesses settings. And not that that would probably ever happen with a Jehovah's Witness, but obviously you don't want to only preach to the choir. You want as many people that don't understand or believe or have perhaps have never heard articulated clearly the gospel of the Reformation that we believe is the gospel of the Bible, the gospel of sovereign grace, that salvation is all of grace, which is really the core of what the Pilgrim's Progress is about.
It really is. Although, you know what I would say, and I've thought of this a lot over the years, obviously the first impulse of every Christian is to want to go tell the unbelieving world about Christ, right? That's natural.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found in my own life that it just might be that the mission God's given me is more to come to the church, which we know is, and when I say church, I mean if I'm standing in front of an audience in a church, an evangelical church, for instance, the chances are good that there are people in there that have a false and dangerous assurance that think they're believers, but they're really not.
Amen, amen.
Right?
The easy buddies with easy believism and cheap grace are rampant in the evangelical church.
Right. So if I can make the gospel clear in that setting, I can still reach people that need to turn from where they are, where they need to be, and I can also encourage and make stronger, and when I say me, of course, I mean God through His Spirit, of course, but I'm devoting my energy just to strengthen the true believer to be who they are, to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow what He's telling you to do, love your brother, you know, all those things. So primarily I'm in churches. I haven't really had the pull or the success or the yearning as much to be a street corner evangelist as much as I am in churches making grace clear and helping people align with it.
Amen. Well, we're going to hear another song right now called The Race. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we hear Jim Winder's The Race.
I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and I'm a runner in a brand new race. I was headed for a dead end, I got turned around. I was nothing but a lost soul, but now I'm found. No short race, it's a marathon, and though the way is rugged, I keep pressing on. Through the rain and the thunder, I'm gonna keep the pace, moving with the Spirit. I've got speed and grace. The saints before me, you know they cheer me on. Hear them from the sidelines, they're singing me a victory song. Keep your eyes on Jesus, He's the author of your faith. And God speed you in the race. Of runners alongside of me, but not all the runners are running free. They run for the fame, I'm running to win a crown of salvation at the race's end. Christ ran before me, and you know He paved the way, and He will receive me at the finish line someday, yeah. He has prepared me a brand new place to rest, where I will be forever blessed. Well, I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and I'm a runner in a brand new race. My destination, I've been saved by grace. I said I'm a runner, I'm gonna see you around. Well, I'm a runner, Lord, I'm heaven bound.
Wow, that was phenomenal. They're getting better each time, I think. Jim, if you saw me, you would never know I was a Reformed Baptist. I was moving around like a Pentecostal at a Holy Ghost revival.
In fact, we have a little bit of blues in there, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah, that was phenomenal. I love that.
Yeah, and that, just to give you context where that song goes, if I back up, Jesus on My Side is paired with Christian Fighting Apollyon in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And the race is, as soon as Christian comes out of that valley, he sees his friend Faithful up ahead, and he catches up with him. And the story says that these two walked on together, and they spoke of their journeys, and after that they go into Vanity Fair. So evangelist comes along, and he says, you know, you're doing well, you're keeping your eyes on the crown, but your race is not over just yet.
Amen. And reminded me immediately of one of the precious truths of the doctrines of sovereign grace, the perseverance and preservation of the saints.
Yes, absolutely. Indeed.
Amen. And the theme of the Pilgrim's Progress, do you think that one of the reasons why it is timeless is not only because it is so thoroughly biblical in its allegories? Charles Spurgeon once referred to, referring to John Bunyan, he said that his blood is bibline, and if you prick him anywhere, the Bible will begin to ooze out. That was a paraphrasing because I don't have his quote in front of me. But Charles Spurgeon was a great fan, for lack of a better term, of John Bunyan, who lived two centuries prior to Spurgeon. It seems that the story not only will really involve the journey that nearly anyone who has been delivered from darkness can say a hearty amen to, because there's something familiar in their own journey, but also the obstacles that we as Christians face along the way that are trying to derail us and trying to rob us of not only the joy of our salvation, but to drag us back to hell. If we could lose our salvation, we would, as some great reform scholar once said. And obviously, I don't believe we can lose our salvation, but those who are true believers can definitely be dragged into a season of unrepentant wickedness, and as it's commonly called, backsliding. And the sign of the true believer is not that he doesn't sin, but that he repents of it.
Right.
And
if you think about what you're describing is the descendant in Doubting Castle in our story, which is a very a vivid picture where Christian and Hopeful, now they've escaped Vanity Fair and they're on this path together, and it says that there's a point around noon where the path departs from the river and it grows rough and dry and filled with sharp stones, and Christian all of a sudden sees this beautiful meadow called Bypath Meadow, and he says, hey, I'll paraphrase, he goes, why don't we walk over there? I mean, it's so much easier walking. And Hopeful is like, yeah, but what if that meadow leads us away from the path? And without answering, Christian hops over the fence and Hopeful follows. And what ends up happening is they can't find their way back. They get dragged by Giant Despair to Doubting Castle. Mm-hmm. And they are now in his prison for 3 days, where they're beaten every day. And culminating with the giant's wife, Giant Diffidence, sending down a way that they could even kill themselves. She sends down a knife, a rope, and poison. And it says that Christian would have used any one of those. But what I like to say in concert is I walk right down into the audience, and I'll stop the story and I'll say, folks, this is when you sin and you feel so guilty about what you've done that you become paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And but I said, who does Christian have next to him? And I hear whispering in the audience, Hopeful, Hopeful,
mm-hmm.
Hopeful. And I go, exactly. So God put a Hopeful next to him. And Hopeful says, perhaps if we read the promises of God in our roles, even in a place like this, God would encourage us and get us out of here. And that's exactly what they do. And that's when Christian says his famous little speech where, I do the old English on this, where he goes, what a fool I've been to lie in a stinking dungeon when I could have easily walked free. I have a key in my chest pocket called promise, which I'm convinced can open any door in Doubting Castle. And of course his friend says, well, do take it out of your pocket and try it in the door. In concert, I'll say to them, I'll kind of be kind of funny. I'll say, well, actually what he said to him was, really? You've had a key in your pocket, like, all this time? the guy's been coming down here and beating us up. You've had a key the whole time? the way out of it, as you said, it's repentance, but it's also going back to the promises of God, which we know are true, and the Spirit moves in our hearts and says, all this stuff that you're thinking are lies. You think God doesn't love you? That's a lie. But I sinned and I did the grievous thing. It's a lie. He loves you. He still loves you. You're still his child. His heart is breaking that you haven't turned to him yet and received the forgiveness he's already to give you. And as soon as Christian did that, boom, they're out of the castle. They're back on the path. They're moving.
Yeah, and one thing that I have been warning some young people I know who have expressed to me, much to my joy, very recently, that they want to start coming to church on a regular basis. And I said, well, you know, now that you have that conviction that's been gnawing at you, be prepared that the devil is going to unleash his minions to prevent you in any way possible from hearing the word taught, from hearing the gospel, from being discipled, from being instructed. Just be prepared. It might even come in the form of laziness, where you don't even want to get out of bed on a Sunday morning. It may be the attractions of the world that are seducing you to do different things. It may be that you have your friends starting to mock you and say that you are some kind of a nut or a weirdo or a sissy or whatever the case is, whatever. I'm trying to guard my tongue from using the language that they would actually be using in this day and age. But we have to be prepared. If you who are listening are going to start to follow the call of the Lord that you believe is you are experiencing, you're going to be distracted. You're going to be facing obstructions and everything, and that's another one of the reasons this book that millions have cherished for centuries, The Pilgrim's Progress, is still as relevant today as it ever was. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so. And I wanted to relate another part of the story where they meet atheists, and this is right before they get to Beulah Land, and they go up into the city, across the river, which is symbolic of dying out of this life, and they meet atheists, and atheist says, I laugh at you. You're such fools to take a long and hard journey for no reason at all. There is no celestial city. And Christian says, but we've heard that there is a place to be found. And atheist gives all the reasons why he says it's a big fake. And he goes down the other way. And Christian, at this point, of all points, he's come through so much. He turns to Hopeful and he goes, could the celestial city really be just a dream? And Hopeful is like, it's not a dream. Look, you've seen the evidence. All along the path, I saw the celestial city gates from the Delectable Mountain. Let's get up. The city, the sun is higher and full around than ever before. Let us follow this path to the east, and we will find the celestial city. And so, it can be even late in life when you think you're strong, and something will happen, and you're going to get rocked. But I want to temper it with what you said before. Those who truly are his, he will not lose. So if you're sitting there thinking, ooh, perseverance, I'm a little afraid of that. Maybe I won't survive that. I promise you, you will. And it won't be because of you. It'll be because of the grace of God. He will not lose you. He will bring a hopeful along. He will give you the scripture. He'll do whatever has to happen to keep you in the faith.
Amen. And that reminds me of in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from the Father. And he also, the Lord talks about how no one can snatch his sheep from his hand.
Yeah.
And we just rejoice with the Lord for these precious promises. And I want to, before we run out of time, I want to play another piece from Journey to the Celestial City, Vanity Fair. And I hope that you listening enjoy this as well. Here is Vanity Fair by Jim Winder and Journey to the Celestial City.
There's a fire in the sky, a storm cloud overhead. I need a little shelter, and there's a little town up ahead. I'm passing through, I don't plan to settle down. And I've been warned about the dangers of this town. Lord knows what I'm gonna find there in Vanity Fair. The buyers and the sellers surround me like an angry sea. What will you buy, my friend? I don't want anything they have to sell. It's all deceiving, and I know that really well. All signs are saying, beware, you're in Vanity Fair. Are plated gold. The price they are demanding is the selling of my soul. The selling of my soul. No, no, no. World is born, and we
are tempted to make this world our home. But we must live like we're strangers in this place. In reverent fear and in the power of God's grace. It's a struggle we all share. Vanity Fair. It's a struggle we all share.
Beautiful, beautiful Vanity Fair by Jim Winder and Journey to the Celestial City. We're going to have to take our final break right now, so don't go away. We're going to be right back with Jim Winder.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Attention coin collectors and investors. Long Island Galleries of Wading River, New York has brilliant, uncirculated 19th century Morgan silver dollars for only $54 per coin, with free shipping and handling for a limited time. There's a 40-coin limit, so order now while supplies last. Call 888-260-8111. 888-260-8111. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express welcome. Prices subject to change, so call now at 888-260-8111. 888-260-8111. If you prefer ordering your brilliant, uncirculated 19th century Morgan silver dollars by check, mail it today to Long Island Galleries, 9 Susan Drive, Wading River, New York, 11792. That's Long Island Galleries, 9 Susan Drive, Wading River, New York, 11792. Remember, they're only $54 per coin with free shipping and handling and a 40-coin limit. New York State residents must add sales tax. Long Island Galleries is honored to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. See the Long Island Galleries display ad at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, MA.org. That's Providence Baptist Church, MA.org. Or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances?
then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we've only got about 7 minutes left of the broadcast. We have been interviewing Jim Winder about his absolutely phenomenal live musical, dramatic, and instructional performance, Journey to the Celestial City, which is basically the story of John Bunyan's classic, The Pilgrim's Progress, adapted for a musical performance. And if you'd like more information about this phenomenal event, you can go to jim-winder.com. Jim-Winder.com. I also want to plug, since my friend Pastor Jim Harrison is the one who first introduced me to the ministry and talent of Jim Winder, I want to plug his church, the church that he pastors, I should say, Red Mills Baptist Church in Mahopac Falls, New York. Their website is redmillsbaptist.org. redmillsbaptist.org. There's no official connection between Red Mills Baptist Church and Jim Winder. It's just that Jim had performed there with Journey to the Celestial City, and Pastor Jim Harrison is the one, as I said, who urged me to invite Jim Winder on the program. And one of the things that is great about what you're doing is that even though there are going to be those of more the fundamentalist stripe who are hypercritical of different types of music styles and melodies and rhythms, the music that you use for this is really broadly appealing enough that I think there'll be a far more tiny group of those opposing what you do or disliking what you do. This seems like it would be within the comfort level of the vast majority of Christians, even those that are ultra conservative in their musical taste, what they think is appropriate for anything related to a Christian service or evangelical outreach. Where would you stand on that, Jim? I mean, you think I'm right on that?
Yeah, I think so. The history is the proof. Like I said, we've been doing this program for 15 years, and we've been in a whole bunch of different churches, and some of them have been extremely, you know, very conservative, and the pastor has said, you know, Jim, you really got to be careful with, you know, volume and energy and stuff like that. And I say, Pastor, we're all about the poor. We do not want to let anything get in the way of communicating what the gospel is. So, you know, we make sure that everything we're doing contributes tastefully in that direction. In fact, I got to tell you a funny thing. When I was sound checking at Pastor Jim's church, we were playing and he was sitting in the back, and I said to the whole group, I said, stop a second. And I said, Pastor, can you understand what I'm singing? And he said, no. And I said, okay, all the music goes down. Leave my vocal where it is. All the music comes down. And we mixed it so much better, and we played a little bit more of one, and I said, stop, and I said, how's it now? And he goes, I can hear you crystal clear. That's perfect. So, you know, we work with pastors to make sure, because there's no sense in standing up there and blowing people away. I mean, we're not about that. We really want to be tasteful, and you can tell our style of music is rather easygoing.
Well, I want to basically go out today on the program with a song by you. And so, therefore, I'm going to wish you a blessed weekend and eagerly look forward to not only you returning to Iron Sharpens Iron, but also to seeing a live performance of Journey to the Celestial City and Blessed Assurance as well, and also helping to orchestrate that right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And once again, the website for Jim Winder is jim-winder.com, jim-winder.com. Thank you so much, Jim Winder, and I'm going to be playing a song of yours called Preach the Word, but I hope that you join us again soon on Iron Sharpens Iron, Jim.
All right, and by the way, you're going to hear my wife's flute playing on this song, so I'm very proud of her. My wife, Paula, is just an amazing musician, so you're going to get to hear her play on this one, too.
Amen. Well, I want everybody listening to know for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner, which I think is the main theme of the Pilgrim's Progress. And now here's Preach the Word by Jim Winder and Journey to the Celestial City.
The word.